What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? It is I, your mother's favorite podcaster, your Tia's favorite podcaster, your grandmother's favorite podcaster, hell, just your favorite podcaster in general, the microphone messiah. I am no longer the Bulletcast champion. It was a good run. It was a good run. But my sacrifice benefited my family at this show, so I'm okay with that. I'm joined by a guy that will never cash in his briefcase because he's scared. You might as well just hand it over to me so I can be champion again. Brandon Tanguma. We also have Poison Scarlet and the new Bulletcast champion, Marley from the High Wrestling Podcast.
Oh, did I win?
You did.
Hello.
Congratulations.
Oh, I did. Oh, wow.
Yes. You're the Bulletcast Podcast champion. It's about time one of us didn't have it.
I thought I was doing bad. I was watching and I was like, oh, yeah, no, I am doing terrible, but wow.
Yes.
What an honor. Girl, you did the best. You did really well.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Thumbs Congrats. Up.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. Wow. Mm. Wow. That's all I really have to say. It's just wow.
Do you have a victory?
Well, you know, I was going to cash in, but then Philip just ran and took
it. Like I said, do you have a victory speech?
I'd like to thank my cats.
Yes.
You know, they taught me discipline, hard work, always keep me on my toes.
Shout out to the
much
kitty.
Like wrestling.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's get into the recap of this show. Crown Jewel from Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. It happened. Another blood money in the sand. Yeah. Brandon, this is. Can we trust you? I mean, you normally do this, but you've been a little iffy these last few episodes. I don't know, man.
I know, and now we, you know, I don't know if we ever had four people on a PLE pay-per-view review before. It's a lot of pressure.
Yeah, so
I think I can do it. But we did have a pre-show. We had Sami Zayn defeat JD McDonagh. 9:40 was the time. You know, solid match. Nothing to really write home about. The most notable thing would be JD McDonagh's bruise welt thing on the side of his lower abdomen on his rib area. Don't really know where he got it, but it looked nasty.
No, nobody's going to say anything? All right, I'll say something.
I mean,
not.
It was very concerning. I was definitely wincing every single time because I thought he just got, you know, paint on him. But then I looked and I was like, oh, yeah, no, he is hurt.
Yeah, that looks pretty nasty for sure. It definitely, in my opinion, it almost took away from the match because I sat there just watching him and going, oh, God, is he going to be okay? That does not look fun to have.
Yeah, I mean, like, usually wrestlers are, like, pale white wrestlers. Like, Bryan Danielson will get, like, you know, those red welts or, you know, almost look like scratches. But this thing was, like, just a giant, just circular bruise looking thing. It was, I don't think I've ever seen that before, even like in MMA. I don't think I've really seen something like that. It was nasty. Philip, have you ever got something like that? You know, I know you're a combat athlete. Or seen anything like that?
I got a black eye. That was about it. That was about it.
Yeah, man. You take care of your body.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. But opening match, you know, we're back to two world championships, so we got to have an opening match start off with a world title. The World Heavyweight Championship, Seth Rollins defends successfully against Drew McIntyre, 18-20. Was the time just a straightforward match. In my opinion, I would say the best match of the night. The crowd was hot for this. They were ready to go. They were, you know, kind of behind both guys. I think they just kind of got, you know, wrapped up in the story and whatever. No full-blown heel turn from Drew. Obviously, Drew comes up Drew comes up short. He was selling some, you know, some despair, some frustration, but nothing after the match itself. So what did you guys think of the in-ring stuff that I thought was quite good?
Thought it was nice. Thought it was very well done. Man, when that Claymore hit, I was like, okay, here we go. We got a new world champ. But no. I will say I did like how it took a lot, you know, for Seth. You know, he hit some move, then a pedigree, and then a stomp to put away Drew. So that does make Drew look stronger. But I need him to just tomorrow on Raw, I need him to just show up and beat the hell out of Seth Rollins and take that title at Survivor Series. We need that to happen. He needs to be the Scottish psychopath again ASAP.
100%.
I agree with you. I think that they did a really good job turning this particular match into almost like a David and Goliath type thing. I mean, Seth isn't small, but I mean, when you put him up against Drew McIntyre, it's like looking at a giant versus, you know, someone smaller. And I think they did a great job storytelling that.
I think my favorite part was that transition into the pedigree. Like, that was just so smooth to me.
Yes.
I'm stealing it. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to find a way.
But also, can we talk about the fact that after the match, Damian Priest comes out with a ref, tries to go and cash in, and gets attacked by Sami Zayn, only to have Sami go steal the briefcase and run out. So what sort of fallout are we going to see from this, you think?
I don't know. You got one show where people are stealing championship titles, and then we know we got briefcases being stolen. I don't know. Is it going to be one of those things where, like with Mr. Kennedy, where you lose the briefcase to somebody else and then they go and cash in? I mean, that happened to Mr. Kennedy. It happened to Otis. Could that be Damian Priest's fate? Yeah. And if so, that'd be terrible.
That would be terrible. I hope that's not the case, but maybe it leads to a feud between Sammy and Damian a little bit later down the line.
Give him somebody to beat. Give Damian somebody to beat.
I mean, I just thought the whole cash-in spot was just so contrived, and it was just kind of, they did it obviously just to set up that angle with Sami Zayn that they're probably going to do a feud later on, because like the story of Seth the past couple months is like how injured he's been, and you know, his back's given out, especially with the Shinsuke feud. And then in this one, I mean, yeah, it was like a hard-hitting match, but it was nothing spectacular. He was seemed fine after the match, so it kind of felt odd that Damian Priest would attempt to cash in when he hasn't done it other times.
The adrenaline is still going, man. You know, the time it takes.
Yeah, but like if he isn't going to cash in those times where Seth was just completely laid out, why would he do it this one? And then
something
crazy. You know, who would have thought that Sami Zayn came out and stole the briefcase when people probably thought there was no chance he was going
to
actually cash in?
He didn't cash in those other times because mommy told him not to, because she's the head of the Judgment Day. Let's not forget that.
There's no leaders in the Judgment Day, Philip.
Are we sure?
That's what they tell us.
I'm pretty sure mommy is the head of the Judgment Day. I mean, Dom listens to her. You know, Finn will fall in line. JD, we don't even know if he's really in. You know, Damian has his qualms, and, you know, he'll listen to her at times. So, I mean, I'm pretty sure Rhea Ripley's running that, you know. It's her division, and it's her faction.
Oh, yeah. It's hers. She's running the Judgment Day for sure. I wonder if we could possibly see a co-ed singles match between Rhea and Damian if they start button heads.
I don't know.
WWE, I don't think, is ever going to do a intergender match. I was shocked that tag team match with Baron Corbin and Seth Rollins and Becky and Lacey a couple years ago.
Didn't they just do one? Somebody just beat up Akira Tozawa.
That was like this past year, I think. That's like relatively recent. Yeah.
Well, I know they had didn't they have Scarlett and Karrion Kross do an intergender tag match?
Oh yeah, with Emma and Moss.
Madcap.
Yeah.
Riddick Moss.
Oh, the mixed tag.
And it was just like,
they had
the whole mixed match challenge thing that one time.
Can we bring back Mixed Match Challenge? That I actually enjoyed that.
The Facebook Live exclusive?
Yes, I'm trying to see Dirty Dom and Mommy take home.
Bring it back on Tout. What? I know Tout predated this podcast, but big Tout guy.
There are some things that you can say where like, that's not one that. No.
I'm sorry. We're Benoit and Tout on this podcast?
Boy, let's just keep it rolling, man. Let's just keep it rolling.
All right. Speaking of, we talked about Mommy, who may or may not be the leader of the Judgment Day. She did have a fatal five-way women's world championship match, which apparently she only had a 20% chance of winning because, you know, WWE math. She took on Nia Jax. It's definitely a fact, because Zoe Stark and Shayna Baszler had a 20% chance of winning this match.
Yes, they did. Yep,
exactly. Rhea Ripley, Nia Jax, Raquel Rodriguez against Shayna Baszler and Zoe Stark. This one goes 11 minutes. I think the consensus was either Zoe Stark or Shayna Baszler was going to take the pin, and they found a way for both of them to kind of take the pin, with Zoe Stark taking the Avalanche Riptide, and then Shayna Baszler being underneath a body of women, and then she gets pinned after all that. So, yeah, Rhea Ripley wins. Decent little match, and crazy that, you know, the Saudi crowd was just so hot and so ready for the men's world title match, and then the next match, the women's match, could hear a pin drop in there.
Oh, that's because they don't appreciate great talent. Listen, Rhea Ripley's entrance, she looked badass, fantastic. Nia was moving around pretty well in there, very, very, very nimble, you know. The spot of Shayna with the three submissions, thought that was cool, you know, gave her a little oomph. Utter chaos at the end with the avalanches and all that, and nonetheless, Mommy is still the women's world champion. It is her division.
Yeah, I don't see her losing her belt to WrestleMania. They're just going to do like another long-term reign.
I love it. Let's keep going.
I mean, definitely want to give Shayna her props, though, for that three people in one submission. That was fun to watch.
That was insane.
A couple really, really good spots in that match. I was pleasantly surprised. I'm sad that the crowd in Saudi Arabia just wasn't really present for it. It felt like they let the wrestlers down.
I think that was kind of the trend of the entire night. Like, obviously, like, there's some underlying stuff with the women, but like, they only got up for like a few of the matches. It was like, what, the stuff they liked, they really liked, and the stuff they didn't care too much about, they're very silent.
Yeah.
The silence was very loud.
It doesn't help. I think the show ran a little bit too long, but I think it is what it is. Then we had John Cena take on Solo Sikoa. They really heavily handedly, that definitely is rolls right off the tongue. You know, John Cena's never hasn't won a match in 5 years, even though there was a strict caveat that John Cena said was televised match, but we're just going to completely ignore that. And so, hey, look, Sikoa.
It's a long day as a commentator. Sometimes you forget minute details. All right.
It was the third match of the show. It was still within the first hour, I think.
Okay, but we don't know what it takes. It's a long day. You know, you have to show up to the building early. You have to prep for all the matches and everything. I'm somebody who sat in the seat, man. I know.
But you wouldn't make such an egregious error like that, Philip.
Hey, man, I've forgotten some details, man. It happens, you know. You learn from it and you move on, you know. Michael Cole, this long in the game, he's allowed to make some mistakes. You know, it's okay. It's fine.
It was definitely not them just ignoring the truth. It was an honest mistake.
You see, this is what happens when outsiders think they know. They just make assumptions.
You know what happens when you make assumptions? Make an ass out of you and me.
Here's the thing, though. Michael Cole has even, you know, he's been transparent about the fact that, yeah, he's human. He makes mistakes sometimes. Everyone's human. We all make mistakes. Crap happens. I mean, he said he called Candice LeRae Candice Michelle during a spot at one point. And even then he was like, I'm sorry, I'm getting old. It sucks.
Yeah, man.
Like, it happens.
Everyone makes mistakes. Life. Everyone has those days. No Hannah Montana fans? All right, never mind. Anyway, listen. Solo
a real one.
Solo Sikoa thumbed John Cena to death. He thumbed him to death. A Samoan spike out of nowhere. And then another. And then another. And then another. And then he held that thumb up high, looking up at Umaga, and said, nah, right to the throat, right to the larynx of Big Match John. Beats John Cena decisively. Now this, because, you know, I talked about energy being transferred and how Cena needed to win and all that. Then I watched this match. This is how you beat John Cena, and it can still matter. By completely dismantling him. We saw it work for Brock Lesnar. All right. This was a big win for Solo. Shout out. And Michael Cole adding the cherry on top as the man that possibly just retired John Cena. Chef's kiss. Chef's kiss. Shout out Solo, man.
I think Cena was on the receiving end of like 15 spikes.
It was five. Yeah. It was five.
It looked like a lot more than that.
It was 20. It was 1,000. He's still spiking them.
Okay, once again, your humor is not...
Your sarcasm is noted, Brandon.
On this day,
we saw the spiking of Johnson.
No, it looked like a lot more, and you could feel the impact, which is what really cemented the loss, in my eyes at least, because it, as I said in my predictions, I felt like Cena was going to win this one. I felt like there was no way that they were going to have him continue to lose, but look at what happened. And it was a beat down. Oof.
The grizzled vet no longer.
Yeah, they don't
can go.
They don't call Solo the street champ for nothing. He took a street beating to John Cena.
Right. Solo ran these streets, man.
Do you think we're going to see Cena again for a while, or do you think he's going to go and like run away with his tail between his legs for a little bit, nurse those wounds?
I don't know if he's running anywhere. He might need a wheelchair after that one. Definitely needs
to need like a voice box. He's not going to be able to speak anymore.
Yeah, he's going to have to.
Aren't they still on strike? He might still need to stick around, though.
You know what I'd like to see? You remember this? Remember the story they did with Ric Flair? Like, once you lose, you're gone. Let's see Cena get back on a winning streak, and then that'd be the proper way to retire John Cena. Just a thought. Just an idea.
I mean, we don't know. I know they did like the whole announcement of Cena's schedule, but I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if he leaves for a little bit, comes back, and maybe Survivor Series gets win back, or maybe we wait all the way to WrestleMania and maybe he beats Solo, and that's kind of like in the midst of a story of like the bloodline kind of crumbling, even though we've kind of been predicting that story for like the past 4 years at this point. But
Cena could pop up in the Rumble, eliminate Solo. You can always do that.
Yeah, something like that. I mean, they really laid it heavy. They were heavy-handed with it at the very end of like Cena soaking it in.
That's funny. Heavy-handed. That's funny.
There you go. Definitely meant to make that a joke. And he was, you know, looking around, soaking it in. Michael Cole was just way over the top and, you know, put it over John Cena at the very end. What?
How's it way over the top?
Well, good thing you asked, because I knew you were going to point me out on that. So I have the quote right here. Cena is a man who defined sports entertainment for an entire generation, selflessly gave of himself to children worldwide, a true leader. And from a personal standpoint, the man has done more for Michael Cole in his career. John Cena has done more for Michael Cole's career than anyone else in this business. He said,
"Yes,
John Cena is truly the greatest of all time." Yes. Fade to black.
How was it way over the top? Selflessly gave his career. I mean, what, the most make-wishes out of anybody? How is that? These are all facts.
They made it seem like that was John Cena's last match, and it's not John Cena's last match.
We don't know that.
Crown Jewels doesn't seem like the stage for Cena to retire. They got to do it at a WrestleMania or something bigger.
They don't necessarily have to.
He promised that, like, you know, the UK is going to get a WrestleMania. John Cena has to be on that show.
I mean, he could host it. He has a wrestle on.
No, he has to wrestle.
Doesn't have to.
Well, that's because he's not going to wrestle because the UK's never getting to WrestleMania.
Well, we don't know that.
Well, first Indianapolis has to get a WrestleMania, and then the UK.
I say they just come back here. I'd like,
or that too.
I'd like that very much. Or at least give us a Royal Rumble over at Oracle Park. I think that'd be nice.
Oh yeah, That'd be good.
That'd be litty. What was next, Brandon? What was next?
Well, next we had a Miz TV segment.
Ooh.
With Saudi Arabian comedian, superstar, movie person, Ibrahim Al-Hajjaj, definitely said that name correctly. And the Miz just put him over, like Michael Cole put over John Cena, talked about how funny he is and how big of a star he is in Saudi Arabia. And then even the Saudi Arabian crowd didn't really care too much about this guy. And then Grayson Waller comes out, babyface turn for him, and they beat him down. The guy hits a rock or a people's elbow and he stumbles trying to get up on the ropes. And that was like 8 minutes. I'm not going to get back in my life.
It'll be fine.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on.
I think I've recovered.
It gave us the chance to get a possible segment between Grayson Waller and The Miz for some sort of match sometime down the line, probably at a Raw or a SmackDown. It was catered to the fans in Saudi Arabia, which is exactly what you would expect them to do at Crown Jewel.
Yeah, Brandon, come on.
But the Saudi Arabian crowd didn't really care too much.
Well, it's a large stadium, so we don't know.
Okay, yeah.
From what I saw, people got excited about him coming out.
You can't just listen. You have to look at the faces. You have to watch the reactions. Come on, man.
This didn't have to be like a full in-ring segment. This could have been a fun little backstage skit or do something like quick on the pre-show.
But then he can't do the people's elbow backstage. So it had to be out in front of the people.
Yeah.
It had to be out in front of the thousands and thousands in attendance and the millions watching at home around the world.
People's elbow on concrete backstage would have been a lawsuit.
Crazy idea. Maybe the comedian shouldn't be, you know, hitting moves on the wrestlers and the wrestler selling for the guy.
Have you not seen wrestling before? Bro, Kevin Federline beat John Cena when he was the WWE champion. What are you talking about?
I'm not saying you can never do it, but I'm just saying he has to do it.
No, I mean you just said they shouldn't be doing it, so that means never.
Also, he was there to promote the movie that he had just been in where he played someone who wanted to be a professional wrestler.
So it all makes sense.
Put the title on
marketing.
Oh my goodness. What
marketing 101.
Marketing? Did you pay full attention to this segment?
No, he didn't.
Yes, I did. I also paid attention. Speaking of marketing, they marketed how great of a place Saudi Arabia is and how just so how nice everybody is and how comfortable the airline is and how everybody should go to Saudi Arabia one day. It's a great place.
I mean, they're holding the boxing matches over there. It's inevitable. Brandon, you should go to Saudi Arabia.
I mean, I guess I should because they had the full four-square Brady Bunch look with, was it LA Knight, Drew McIntyre, Bayley, and Bianca Belair. So I'm sold now. I got to go.
Yes, you should. What was next?
Then we had the U.S. title match with Rey Mysterio defending against Logan Paul. This one goes 17-55. Logan Paul wins after a very contrived sequence of Logan Paul's crony brings him a brass knuck. And then the brass knuck gets knocked out of his hand. And then Escobar comes out and makes the save. And then he takes the brass knucks, but then he chased the guy off. But then he just happens to put the brass knucks right where Logan Paul is set up for 619. And then Logan Paul takes the brass knucks and hits Ray with it. And then he wins.
Well, yeah, storytelling, brother. Storytelling. Yep. It's called planting seeds.
Why did he just, take the brass knucks, put it in his pocket?
It's because we're planting seeds.
Okay.
Oh, it's like, you plant seeds for a flower to grow. The flower is about to blossom of the heel turn of Santos Escobar on Rey Mysterio. Come on.
Yes.
We all see it. I don't know why you don't see it. Look, Logan Paul might be the greatest celebrity wrestler of all time. I'll say it. 17 minutes in there with the gloat, the greatest luchador of all time. Congrats to him, man. And I told the story. He gets it. It's the little in-between things that he was doing between moves and healing it up and just being an a-hole, which I'm sure is a real side of his actual personality, man. This was fun. Great slingshot lariat. Does he have a better buckshot than Hangman? Can we say that? Can we say that?
Another CM Punk reference with him botching the buckshot a little bit.
Well, I mean, it wasn't a complete.
Just saying,
it was a complete botch.
I know, but he slipped, kind of like what CM Punk does.
No, see, one time CM Punk completely collapsed. That's not even close. But I'm saying, Logan Paul, congratulations. He's the champion of our country.
His ring awareness after 8 matches is absolutely insane.
I know. I might have to learn some things from Logan Paul. I'm gonna email the Impulsive Podcast. I'm gonna see if I can get a little Q&A. You know.
I mean,
I'm indifferent on him, but I can't deny that he's talented.
I think the wrestling world kind of has to admit at this point that he's dedicated to the craft. And
you know what?
You know, like him or hate him, WWE's doing a good job at marketing their brand through him.
Yep. Can we get Bad Bunny to have a real run? Can we get Bad Bunny to have like a 2-month run?
I think Bad Bunny's booked for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, you'll have to take that up with Ticketmaster.
Okay, when all that's over, can we get him to have a real quick little run?
I mean, that would be ideal.
Like instead of just the Rumble spots and a match in Puerto Rico, can we get him to have a nice little run like Logan Paul's having? I mean, I'm excited. Any other thoughts on Logan Paul? Shout out to him for saving Rey Mysterio's life, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Got out. Good job, Logan.
Yes.
That was almost a
Lucha Logan, brother. Neck. Lucha Logan is real.
Yeah, I mean, I have no qualms with Logan being the champion. You know, it's low enough to where it doesn't, you know, it's not like, oh my God, this guy's taking a spot away from someone who deserves it. And it's high enough that it gets some publicity for the company and stuff like that. But honestly, I thought the match would maybe a little bit disappointing. I think just based off what Logan Paul has done and what Rey Mysterio could do. But I thought the match was like okay overall, but I thought it could have been a little bit better. But,
I disagree with you wholeheartedly. I thought it was an excellent match. I think between the Seth Rollins and Drew McIntyre match and this one, these were my top two matches of the night.
Is anybody going to back me up on this? Or just everyone just piles on me like always?
I mean, no. I mean, less is best, man.
I'm not going to say it was a bad match. I was just saying, as you said, Logan Paul has been fantastic. I think Ray can get up for certain spots. I thought maybe they could have pulled something a little bit better out, but it was fine for what it was.
Maybe they'll run it back.
Maybe.
They'll have to. Don't they like have the rematch clauses, or is that like done with the brain split?
No, we're not sure. We're not. That's not really clarified. You know,
what was clarified is Survivor Series. We discussed it last week. War Games is going to be at Survivor Series this year, so that should be fun.
I'm so excited.
Any predictions? What you guys think the war? I mean, I assume just one War Games match because that's what they did last year. What do you think the match is going to be? Judgment Day, Bloodline.
Oh,
you know,
Judgment Day versus Cody and Friends.
Yeah. That's what I'm seeing.
It's Cody, Sammy.
KO, maybe.
I don't know about KO.
Actually, no. Didn't he go to SmackDown?
Yeah, I don't know about KO.
So I don't know about that.
What Finn? Mommy in the men's War Games would be something.
Dude, I'd be here for that.
She's in the Roman spot where Roman was sitting in the chair last time and like being a general and directing them at when to go out. I think that would be something. Like, Damian's ready to go out. She stops him and sends out JD. Come on now.
That would be a moment.
That would be incredible. Moment.
Now we're having a conversation.
That would be great, but I don't think they are going to have, like, you know, an intergender War Games style match in WWE.
Well, we can
hope. A missed
hope.
Opportunity.
Yeah.
I mean, Mommy can, she can beat up half of the roster. She can beat me up.
Damn right she can.
Wait, hold. You act like
you said that with too much certainty.
You only act like I stand a chance. Damn.
Oh no, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about how she can probably beat up most of the main roster. Not you.
Yeah, that part.
Not you. I was talking about that part.
Or if she's not in the match as a competitor, she can still sit in the chair and do that.
Also that.
Yes. Continue with it as I get a phone call.
Because Philip is a very important person. He's got to be taking some business dealings. So we got another women's championship match as Io Sky defends her title against Bianca Belair. This one goes 16 35, and it was the worst kept secret in WWE. Kairi Sane has returned to WWE. She interfered on the outside and led to the finish. And it looks as though Io and Kairi are together. They pointed out on commentary that Kairi, last time we saw her, she was getting attacked by Bayley. So that sets up some sort of disagreement or something between Io, Kairi, and Bayley. Maybe the two Japanese, you know, the two Joshis split off, and then it's, you know, Bayley and Dakota in a tag team match against them or something like that. What do you guys think?
That's exactly what I foresee being the case. I know that you're saying that it was one of the worst kept secrets, but somehow I managed to not know that that was happening.
Yeah, no, the rumors were going around like 4 months ago about this.
Yeah.
All just died down. So it wasn't a worst kept secret. It wasn't that.
But I was like, I was completely in the dark about it. Like, I had no idea that she was coming back to WWE. I was very excited because the last time that I saw her, I think was in 2020 or 2020, right?
Yeah.
When she got beat down. But last I remember, she was tag teaming with Asuka.
Yeah,
because I even remember I went to Hell in a Cell, and I think it was her and Asuka as a tag team, like the year prior.
I think the last time I saw Kairi Sane was what, at the New Japan show this year when Mercedes Moné beat her for the title. Yeah, so let's Brandon was, he was there with me as well.
Yep, and my other friend Phil was there too.
Yes, our Pepsi Phil was there also. Yes. Well, congratulations. Keep going.
Oh, I was going to comment on the fact that they are letting the women's ring gear be a little bit more personalized to their characters now. And I'm really happy about that. If you notice, everybody's had kind of their own gimmick with their bodysuits.
Yeah, it's no longer just bodysuits and giant t-shirts. Progress.
Yeah, thank God.
Look like they're going scuba diving.
Yeah. You know, it didn't really get a pop. You know, I mean, obviously if they were here in the US, boom, that would have been a massive, you know, pop. But nonetheless, Io Sky is still the WWE Women's Champion. You know, they can tell a story because Bayley, I remember, like, one of Io's last appearances on WWE television, she was attacked by Bayley. So there's like a 3-year-long story we can tell here. We can sow some seeds. You know, we can.
War games?
You know War what? Games. You know, I could see something. I wouldn't be opposed to that. I would not be opposed to that at all.
Do you think that they would do a men's and a women's War Games?
Just keep it what, like 5 matches? 2 of them are War Games matches. Just keep the whole card 5 matches.
I'd say
do that. Throw an IC title on there, because I guess Gunther can't travel outside of the United States, which is why he hasn't been on these international PLEs.
Wow.
So, are you trying to get citizenship or something?
I don't know. I mean, this is a dirt sheet, so it makes sense because he hasn't been on them, so we can believe it. But I don't know. You can do something like that. I throw the Miz and Gunther on there because they had the little thing on Raw. And then get Logan to defend the US title on a
no.
What? Why not?
I love the Miz, but no.
What do you mean no? And then no, there's
he's
a story.
Get squashed.
So that's
absolutely
fine.
Absolutely squashed.
That's what he's there to do. And then you tell the story.
To be fair,
need a real match.
It does make sense, because when you, at least in like this generation or this era, when I personally think of the IC title, I think of the Miz and I think of Gunther. So in a way, it does make sense for them to have a little title belt.
Yeah, and then you tell the story of Miz trying to tie the record of 9 Intercontinental title runs. You know, Jericho currently holds a record. Miz is at 8. Miz can have his little spots where he looks like he can come close, but Gunther just decimates him and keeps going. You know, throw a U.S. title match on there, get a woman's or maybe both women's titles are involved in the women's War Games. You never know. But, we can do something like that. And what was next? Cody versus Damian, right?
Correct. Cody defeats Damian 11-05. You know, pretty straightforward match. This could have been a main event on a Raw. This was just stuck on a PLE, and Cody wins. Solid match. Nothing really to complain about. You know, it is what it is. It was fine.
Cody Rhodes. Yeah. I heard that on Cheap Heat. I heard them call him Cody Rhodes, and I was like, oh, that's cute. But yeah, nonetheless, the American Nightmare defeats the Archer of Infamy, defeats Senior Money in the Bank, pushing forward. Cody's, you know, back on track to try to finish the story. What chapter are we in? We do not know.
Might be book two at this point.
Could be
book
volume
two, chapter 54.
Possibly. All right, now the main event. I'll handle this. I can't even hear you. I can't hear you at all.
Sorry, main event fail. I haven't done that in a while. Usually, you're the one muted me. I'm not muted myself.
Oh no, right? Because yeah, I mean, are you gonna bring the umph for this? Are you?
Well, you know, usually it is our gimmick where I, you know, take the undercard and then you take the reins in the main event.
Yes. It was for the undisputed WWE Universal Heavyweight Championship. That of the table, the Tribal Chief, Roman Reigns, the man that makes the industry money, billions of dollars, successfully retained the title against LA Knight. Yeah, LA Knight was put in a prominent spot, you know. Can we look on SmackDown? They're encountered on the go-home. Roman saying he was cosplaying a redneck version of his cousin. Big pop for me. Big pop. Of course there was interference as he was Solo was on the stage. Jimmy comes out there, gets put through a table, puts Roman's foot on the rope to save it. LA Knight kicked out of a spear. Roman, great facials as always, like what? Nah. But nonetheless, I mean, relatively clean. Nobody like got in any offense on LA Knight except Roman, so that was nice. Did make him look strong in a way. Roman Reigns is still the undisputed champion. Yes.
Was there ever any doubt?
No. There was never any doubt on my side. Like I said, man, Roman's breaking Hogan's record. We will be here a year from now. Roman Reigns still the undisputed champion.
Also,
I would not be shocked.
Yeah.
You know, another mistake for Michael Cole. You know, mistakes might happen. I don't know if this was a Michael Cole mistake or just, you know, research error. They completely left out Bob Backlund when it came to, like, longest title reigns of history. He was like, there's only two men in history that have longer title reigns than Roman Reigns. I'm pretty sure he has not.
Are we sure?
I'm pretty sure Backlund had one that was, like, 4 or 5+ years.
No, you're actually, you know what, you're right. Because Hogan, that one run Hogan had was 1,000-something days. Yeah, that was a mistake. Or here, let's Google. Let's Google to be sure.
I mean, I Googled it when it first happened, when I heard it for the first time, and I was like, that's strange.
What is
no love for old Bobby Boy.
Yeah, it says 1978 to 1983.
Yes, I mean, how many days is it? 2,000 something, right?
Something like that.
Yeah. Let's see, how long was Bob Backlund champion? How long was Bob Backlund WWE champion? 2,135 days. Yes. February 20th, 1978 to December 26th, 1983.
Bruno, but show some respect to Bob Backlund.
That's right. He has the second longest world title run in history. So he beats Hogan next year, then he would be third at all time, which is a feat. Nonetheless, congrats to Roman Reigns, another successful title defense. They've dwindled over the years. I think when he first got the title, it was 13. Then last year was 8. Now it's only been 5 defenses this year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you know, match was okay. You know, it's going to rely heavily on the characters in the match. And this was one of the few matches that the Saudi crowd was really into. And they liked Boo and Roman. They liked saying, yeah, for LA Knight. We got the obligatory run-in from the Bloodline. Shout out Paul Heyman for that little walrus jump he made trying to get into the ring and distracting LA Knight for a little bit. But as you said, kind of clean a little bit at the end, but obviously there's going to probably be some complaining from LA Knight. But
there should be.
For sure.
Yeah. I mean, as I said on the prediction, I would have just had Roman beat LA Knight clean as a sheet, just in a solid match. Just there's no shame in losing to Roman Reigns clean. And you can tell a story, maybe, you know, LA Knight building himself back up or trying to get back at it. But because Roman hasn't been wrestling around that much, and give him a little more gravitas as we head into WrestleMania. But who cares what I think? Because I'm an idiot.
That seems to be your new catchphrase.
Yes. Put it on a shirt. Put it on a shirt.
New tagline.
Overall grade for Crown Jewel. What are we giving it, Marley? We don't give stars or letters. Or numbers. We have grades out here.
This is a classroom around here.
Yes. And I'm the educator. So.
You said no stars or no letters?
No stars or numbers.
Letter grades.
Numbers.
Letter grades. Was it A? Was it a B? What was it? What was it?
I would give it a B because, like, you know, Blood Money Show. Tack a point off for that. But I feel like it's just some of it could have been saved for like a Raw or a SmackDown, but you know. They had to do what they had to do with the resources that they had.
Katie.
Yeah, I'd give it a solid B. I enjoyed watching the matches, but were there some that I think could have been the main event of a house show or a televised show? Yeah.
Brandon.
I will give it a C+. It was fine. I really did enjoy the opening match with Drew and Seth. Everything else, it was just kind of there. It was fine. There was nothing like bad on the show, but I think with the card leading into it, I thought they did a pretty good job at building it up, but I just didn't think it kind of lived up to what it could have been.
Give it a B for Blood Money. Good job. All right, guys, that's gonna do it for all of us. Let's see what else. Marley, let the people know where they can find you again.
People can find me on Instagram, High Wrestling Pod, Twitter, The High WP, The High Wrestling Podcast on YouTube.
All right, Anton Voorhees interview will be coming out this week. BC again this week. We're building up towards what are we building up towards in the wrestling world? They're keeping going along with Full Gear. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the fallout of Crown Jewel. Any other outside of the ring news that happens? Thank you guys so much. As always, be safe and stay dangerous. Yes, sir.